Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're about to listen to an interview which our socios enjoyed in full 12 months ago. If you'd like to listen to these exclusive monthly big interviews on the day that they're released, it's time to join us. That means supporting us. It means the price of a pint per month. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Go now, join and become a socio. That means you'll get that extra big interview every month. And you'll also unlock our entire archive straight away. All for £2.99 a month. It's the best deal in town, baby. And we need you. To hear it really clearly, because this time I don't interrupt too much, how bright Julian Lescott is. Funny, hugely articulate. You're going to hear him smiling, looking gratified at the way that his life has turned out. You're going to probably tell people about the way in which he explains his dyslexia, how he's learned to cope, and how he's turned that, frankly, to an advantage. This is a lucky man who's talented, determined, who adores music, and will explain why. And yes, he does remember what vinyl and LPs were for. He's also fully aware that in being a player mentor at Manchester City, in being somebody who can teach them standards, who can select those that need help rather than just being left to their own devices, he's in work which is going to keep him happy for the remainder of his career if he chooses. This is one funny, bright, friendly, interesting man. I promise you, on my honour, you're going to love this. Julian, you won't be used to my style.
Yeah.
So I may gush a little bit, I may get a little bit sort of flowery with my words, because I still find this process really exciting. So I'm kind of delighted to be talking to you, a footballer of real merit, a footballer with articulacy and trophies galore. But you also win the award for the earliest big interview ever. But please, yeah, could we testify to those who won't believe me that it's currently 7:23 in the morning?
Yes, it is.
And you've had about 2 hours sleep.
Yeah, well, it was probably about 4 hours. I got into bed around 1:30 and then up.
Do you know the thing I really like? When because in the old days, just before I came into the game, journalists and players travelled together. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, when I've been doing TV production with Spain during the tournaments, you travel with them, so you travel their hours.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that footballers who maybe kick off at 9 o'clock at night in a foreign country in the Champions League, whatever, yeah, they'll play, they'll come back, get changed in the stadium, they'll do their media duties, they'll file off to the airport. Yeah. I think everybody in the public just switches off their mind then and think,
oh,
footballers are just kind of like special toys that get put in the cupboard and come back out again. But you wait at the airport at 1 in the morning like ordinary people, the bags get delayed, planes don't take off. You get back home, pumped full of adrenaline after a 2-hour flight from, I don't know, Prague or Moscow, 4-hour flight, and into your bed at 6 o'clock, and then it's training at 10 o'clock or 10:30 the next 100%. Morning again.
That's the thing, and then there's sometimes, as you say, just touching on the bag situation, if you're flying into Manchester and you're a City player and the bag handlers are United fans, then it tends to take a little bit longer.
Things just yeah, they'll be here in a minute.
Yeah, of course.
I've seen that in Madrid when Guardiola's Barcelona used to go to Madrid, and they would come back, and there's a particular brand of cop, the Guardia Civil, and a particular uniform you can tell. And they're not overly fond of Barcelona, and yeah, everybody would be checked three times, or as you say, bags might suddenly be. I just need to take a look in this bag, and all done in the best possible taste. But that slows you in. I like the rhythm. I don't think we fully appreciate the internal resources you've got to have to be, because if you've had that long flight, maybe the next morning's training, and that's been throughout 15, 20 years of your life, next morning's training might be a warm down, it might not be ultra intense, but you're kind of judged on every training. So even if you've dragged yourself out of your bed after a long flight overnight, maybe even had to pack the kids up to school, whatever it might be, when you come into work after 2 hours sleep the next morning, you've still got to be at it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's the level of professionalism that comes with being a footballer, regardless of time, sleep, anything, rest, it just has to happen. And as a fan, public probably don't see that, but as players, you just kind of are used to that, and it's never, can't be bothered, or it's never that. That's what has to happen, and we have to go in and just get on with it.
Because when people talk about pressure, I think they look at photos and say, well, our pressure moment is a big game.
Yeah.
Or the fans are really expecting you to win this trophy, or whatever it might be. But it's like a low-level buzz of pressure.
Yeah.
Every minute of every day while you're a successful professional footballer, in a million different ways. Never drop your guard, never drop your standards. Mm-hmm. Always worried about, have I got the physical resources? Have I got the mental resources? Yeah. Who's watching me? What does the coach think? Is a teammate better than me? Just every minute.
Yeah,
there's
a constant pressure that comes with playing, and that you put on yourself due to the fact that you want to get the best out of your own ability. And as I said, the way the game's going now, it's probably more of a physical demand with the speed and tempo of playing. But throughout my career, I kind of obviously suffered injury early on, so I kind of knew that I would potentially have to work a little bit harder physically to kind of just be fit and just be regarded as, oh, he's got a dodgy knee, which did happen regardless of the efforts I put in away from the field. But there is a constant pressure, I would say, that comes with playing a football, but it's just part of it. And I don't want many players that didn't enjoy all that process, because as I said, if you don't enjoy the process, then you can't again live on the reward that comes at the end.
It's funny how often we come in these conversations back to the fact that your biggest competition is with yourself, your energy, your standards, your attention to detail. But not unusually for me, I put the chapters of the book in the wrong order, because we're here at one of the clubs where you succeeded and where you won your most significant trophies. You're now, it's boots off and the knee can rest a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're principally here because I'm really fascinated by what you're doing right now at a club which is quite, I think, at the forefront of ideas in modern football. So that I don't misdescribe it, tell me what your current role is, particularly with a view to loanees.
Yeah, initially it was called loans team, loans department, but we just kind of want to come away from that because it's just the feel around loanees. There's been some documents and players from other clubs talking about how that makes them feel, being known as just the loans team, and we don't want to kind of enhance that for or that feeling. So we're trying to encourage the players to feel we're just part of their development at this stage in their career. So a development team, and again, being one of the most high profile people on that team, I don't want that discourage the effort and stuff that goes into it from the other members. We've got a physio, Scott. We've got a strength and conditioning coach, Neil. We've got another coach, Gaz Wally, who's played the game. Sinan, who was roughly maximum two years older than the players he's working with due to the
connection.
And he had to stop through a life-threatening injury that prevented him from playing. We've got two analysts, Bulhar and Spanish, and Sam, and then a site called Philippa. And then we're all headed by Fergal Hawken, who's kind of the team leader, and he's been doing this role for a number of years on his own, and the number of loanees hasn't really changed. So there's been times when Fergal's been looking after 30 players a season on his own. He's had to be all them parts of the jigsaw, kind of the physio, the psych, the mentor. He's had to do it all on his own, and as I said, for a number of years he's been trying to put this team together. And I've known him before our City careers. We joined City at the same time, but
really?
I've known him since I joined the Premier League. He worked at Nike, who were my sponsors at the time, and okay, we just had a great relationship from then, and then obviously joining City in the same summer kind of enhanced our relationship. And then he asked me to do this pretty much after I'd stopped playing, mm-hmm. which came out as a surprise, to be fair, because I did want to continue playing last season, but the options and weren't realistic for me at this moment in time. And then Fergal asked me, do I just want to watch some games? And I thought, yeah, I'm not doing anything. But when I came in, they kind of had an idea of what they wanted me to do before they told me. So I came in thinking, I'm just going to be going watching games for the next few weeks and seeing how that goes. And they was like, no, this is what we're doing. We'd love you to be a part of it. I was like, yeah, 100%. If I could honestly pick a role, this would be it.
Wow.
Helping, because I had a mentor, Terry Connor, when I played, and I didn't appreciate him till later on in my career.
Terry Connor?
Yeah, he's Mick McCarthy's number two.
So that relationship with Terry began at Wolves?
Yeah, I was literally coming out of the youth team, and it was old reserves then, so he was like reserve team manager. He was the guy that kind of helped to transition from youth team reserves into the first team. So I would have been 16, 17, mm-hmm. and again, moving through the system a little bit faster. Back then it was different, but I just couldn't see how he was helping. I was just like, why is he on my back? Why is this guy always picking on me to do everything? If I make a mistake, it's highlighted. And then I kind of got into the first team, and he didn't let up. It didn't stop, because it was like, well, now you're where you want to be. Mm-hmm. It was like, we go again. And I was like, I can't understand it. Is it personal? Or? And then I realised he'd seen something in me, and it wasn't until later on when he explained that he thought, you'll have a positive reaction to the way I treat you. And not everyone has that or no. had that, and I'm thankful to him for that, because I wouldn't have been the player I am if it wasn't for him.
Two things strike me before, because we need to come back to what you were comparing Terry's work to in Fergal's team and your current work. You said you realised.
Yeah.
How? Because it had been, oh, he's in my ear, it had been irritating or worrying, or maybe it even got you a bit chippy yeah. about like he's always on me. How did the realisation come?
Because it was working. And obviously, my older brother played football, and he'd explained to me that you don't get to complain about anything in football. And again, it was probably not necessarily all the time right in the way coaches and players were handled back then. It was totally different to now. Mm-hmm. There wasn't no safeguarding issues or stuff no. like that. It was like, if I tell you to do it, you do it. And that was the way, the mentality I had, due to the fact that my brother said, if they ask you to do it, you do it, and if you can't, they'll notice that you can't, but you've tried. I was like, yeah, that's fine, I can do that. My mum and dad, same kind of thought process. Someone tells you to, if a grown up asks you to do something, you respect
yeah,
that,
so
and you do it. And they was big on that, so I just kind of embraced that. Mm-hmm. And then it was first time I'd met TC, and I'm training, we're doing a canal run, and my first pre-season with the first team, I'm 16, I'm new to this, I don't run the way they was running, the way the players run back then. And we came to roughly the halfway point of this run, and no one was around. Well, I thought no one was around, and I was sick. It was that hard. I was physically sick, mm-hmm. on the floor, mm-hmm. and I just thought, I'm sick, so I'm going to have to carry on. I'm halfway from home, I can't stop, so I'll just carry on. And he seen that. Didn't tell me until years after.
Well,
and okay. he said, I noticed that, and I thought, is something kidding? Because most players would have just stopped, complained, or would be going like, well, I was just sick. I didn't mention it when I got back to anyone, because it was just, look, what can I do? I was sick 2 miles, 3 miles down the road, so we're not going to go back and do anything. So I just kind of got on with it, and TC said that was the moment he knew, or he thought, would be able to cope with what it's needed.
Because your character,
yeah,
resilience.
But yeah, and as I said, that was he'd met me for the first, roughly one of the first times. We'd known each other 2 or 3 days, so for him to kind of be that judge of character helped me realise that he must have been in situations like this, mm-hmm. to know. Mm-hmm. You can't just guess that. And then, as I said, I do see myself as quite strong-minded, so yeah, it was never a hindrance. It was a frustration at times, very frustrated, but as soon as I realised, it made me more determined to to kind of lean on him to work harder at stuff people didn't appreciate at that time. There was like footwork and gym stuff that wasn't a thing. Like, people didn't do what's called now pre-activation. You did warm downs, but they would literally massage and you come in, and that, in that area, I'd probably have a couple of beers.
I remember when warm down started, and I remember, of course, the media people were laughing. And,
yeah, what is that?
Now, yeah. It's
the second day recoveries, yeah. There is like 2 day recovery sessions after games that are more intense than others. And as I said, I was kind of coming out of the old generation of thought process to the new era. And as I said, I seen a real opportunity to kind of enhance the abilities I was lucky to have, and TC was definitely a part of that. And that's the thing I enjoy now, is when I speak to players and I can generally feel that they're getting something out of what I'm saying, and that is like the ultimate buzz for me to know that potentially when you're 25, 26 and these players are like 18, 19, you're going to look back and think, yeah, that was right then.
It's a mini variety of parenting.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, I wouldn't want to say that now, because I know at the time, as when I was these players' ages, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, no, you're not disrespecting my parents. My parents have put the background in for this amount of time. So I know what you're saying, but the mentoring side of it is the most appealing to me than any other thing. And I would have chose that, to be honest, before.
It's fine, because it comes out in, as well as your words, it comes out in your anybody who smiles as they say something, you know that's... Yeah. Truth and satisfaction coming out. It's really, you know, you're speaking to somebody who's really excited and happy with the brand of work he does every day. And we're lucky, the three of us around this table, that you're particularly enthused by that, what you can translate to people and how you can mentor them and guide them and advise them and help them. But anybody who finds that their working day is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I wonder if the way that Fergal's incorporated you into this larger team, it suits you. They've chosen you well, and you're somebody, it happens, that went through a mentoring process with Terry too. But it feels to me like Fergal's overall aim, your department's overall aim, is to try and make the process of what happens to guys who aren't necessarily coming through the steps in their own club much more monitored, managed, productive, helpful. Because we're not just, you've made it clear, we're not just talking about loans, but as a part of Fergal's work, loans would have been pretty unscientific throughout the majority of our careers around football, and now that's not what you or City or Fergal's department wants to happen.
No, it's strange, because I spoke about this with someone. He was a youth team player who, funny enough, he's Northern Irish, Gary Everett, and I seen him here on he was on his pro licence. They came over and we were talking then, and I took his place in the youth team at a young age, but we were very close randomly. He didn't kind of say, well, we're competition. He kind of took me on the wing. He's a couple years older than me, and he was like, yeah, well, if you're going to be that serious, then I'll help you in any way I can. I was, and again, grateful for that. But we were saying that you didn't go on loan back then. There was no loans. If you wasn't deemed good enough for a team, you was kind of released. It weren't like, go on loan for 6 months and then possibly come back when you're more capable of being able to play at this level. It was like, he's not good enough, so kind of don't want him. And he said he kind of felt that he possibly could have had a longer career if he did go on loan earlier. And there is a science behind what we're doing. We're not just sending players on loan because at this moment you're not deemed ready for Man City. It's like, no, we've looked at the science behind pretty much every Champions League player, and they've all played men's football, first team football, at, I think it was 18 and a half.
At an advanced age.
Yeah, an advanced age. And that wasn't necessarily Messi playing for Barcelona A at them ages. It was, he played for Barca B, but they were playing against men, so he had to cope with different things. And that is the kind of environment we want to expose these players to. It's not necessarily Man City's facilities, the nutrition side of it. You don't get that awareness, you don't get that provided. It's like, oh, this is a men's world. And one of the players now, I won't mention his name, but we were speaking the other week and he was saying to me, in terms of ability, the 23s are possibly as good as the team he's playing with. And I said, well, how many do you think could play for the team you're playing for? And he said, one, maybe two. I said, don't you think that's weird? He said, yeah, I just said I'd never assumed that would be the case. He said, I just thought it was just stability, and that's what it was. And it was never, oh, he was coming on, or he was listening to a game. And he said his home fans were booing him. And he said, I was going on thinking, don't get booed, don't get booed. And I said, you've never had that thought process. You've never had that fear of, I'm going to get booed by my own fans here. Like, or there's pressure on you to kind of take responsibility. The players are looking at you. It's all right when it's the EDS and kind of everyone's as good as each other, but when they're looking at you to be that guy or to stop a goal going in, it's a different feeling. And then they're all aware of that, and they all appreciate of the other elements off the field and what comes with playing that helps.
We're talking about obstacles, setbacks, pressure, an opponent bullying you who's bigger than you, or as you say, irascible fans giving you grief. That the gap he was discovering or noticing was that the peers he saw were exceptional footballers who could play in whichever team this is, but he didn't think that they were all quite at that level of character or experience to handle the burden of playing men's football.
Oh, definitely, and I'm sure they're aware of that, but more so here because I'm again working with these players, and at pre-season I noticed that possibly 90% should have a career in football. The ability they have, they should have a career, but the mentality of that generation, not just the players at City, but society of that generation anyway, they don't have the mental process or thought process of it needs to be this, it has to be done this way every day. There's no days off, and they're probably looking at the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and think, I can play that pass. But can you play that pass when you're only going to get one shot in front of 40,000 people and it might not come again? And that's the difference, and that's the kind of exposures we're trying to put forward to them. It's great when you're given a dodgy ball to Sergio Aguero, who can then go past his man and score, but if that player's not Sergio Aguero and that ball is half great or half poor, and then the defender intercepts that, tackles him, and then all of a sudden it's in the back of your net, can you cope with that? And as I said, there's lots of elements off the field as well that come with playing men's first team football, because a lot of men, and again growing up in the reserves where it was, if you didn't play in the first team you played the reserve game on a Tuesday, and that was against someone that was either mad that he didn't play, so he might kick you, and also that
kick,
and also the fact that he's playing for his livelihood, like really, like this is, he's got bills to pay and it's not guaranteed next season, and I need to kind of give it all. And that's the thing, that obviously the higher level you play at, in regards to first team, when you get at any level, it's deemed a lot more important to the individual.
We came through because you broadened out there in a way that I like, and that across this, you know, I don't know how many top level coaches and players we've done in this series, and because I'm so much older, I often speak to people of my own generation, but you've touched on themes where they bemoan the change in society whereby a lot of guys who come into, I don't know about girls football and women's football, I don't know what transitions they're going through, maybe it's the same, so I speak about what I know, that young boys, young men coming into the game right now will predominantly, one, not have the same remorseless drive and hunger and will to succeed, or ideology where like, I'm halfway down a canal, there's nobody here, the only way is to get my business done and carry on. And also mixed with the change in a lot of people's behaviour and perception in society, the fact was that football was very much like the worst of the British Army, with sergeant majors who could bully you, who could make your life a misery, and who could, in an unscientific way, poke you until you failed or you reacted and succeeded. So you're taking the fact that football needs those same traits of resilience, gutsiness, character, responsibility, self-development at a time when society isn't actually providing you with the best raw material.
Yeah, again, I'm aware of most things. I don't know everything, obviously. I don't kind of say that, yeah, I'm Messiah and I know everything, but I do think there's a generational change. And as I said, it's funny because, again, I won't mention names, but I see people on shows and talking, and they're saying they can't cope with players celebrating a certain way, dancing around and taking selfies. I'm like, in your generation, after a game, you went and had a cigarette with a beer in the changing rooms and sat in a massive bath for 4 hours. And I'm like, how is that any better than what these are doing?
True.
I don't understand how you can just judge a player's character because he wants to dance instead of having a cigarette. And there was probably more people taking cigarettes and drinking beer than there is players dancing.
Many more.
Plus, I've got children. I've got a teenage son. So I'm a kind of aware of the change of how it is. It's harder to communicate face-to-face. Like, me and my son have better conversations via text than we would have face-to-face.
Yeah.
And we can be in the car for on the way to football or whatever and not speak and be perfectly fine. Yeah. And then I'll be away and we'll just text each other and it would be... again, fine. But I'm aware of that, and not everyone is, because there is a bigger generational gap in certain age groups and people and managers and players and stuff like that. So going back to kind of what it is, this generation, I do feel there's a lot more ability in this generation of players, and the fact that it comes a little bit easier to them in terms of ability, because ultimately you're being judged on what you can do with the ball, and most of them can do it when... but the mentality of doing it when you're not asked, that's the bit they kind of miss. Do it when no one's watching. Don't do it because you think someone's watching. Just do it. Don't care if, oh, is he watching this rep, is he looking now so I can put my maximum effort in now when he's seeing it. But then when I think he's turned his back, I'll just slack off a little bit. And that's the thing, that this generation of players and younger people that I think miss. I think they're just the self-determination to be the best. And the ones that do, you can see, because they come through earlier and play for longer. Like Wayne Rooney, for instance, is one of the most determined players I've ever come across. He had to win, and that's the thing. Everybody wants to win, everybody. But he needed to win. And I was just like, wow, there is levels. There is a level of appetite that you need to be that good for that long. Ashley Cole, the same, as like, he was the best he could be for 10 years. Like, people can't even think that long. People don't even remember what they were doing 10 years ago. So to be the best you could be every day for 10 years is ridiculous. And I just don't think we'll see that anytime soon. Obviously, you've got the likes of Messi and Ronaldo, but I just think the impatience in football as well hinders that process of someone like dominating for that long.
I don't mean to take this away from where we are, but because I lived in Barcelona for so long, because I interviewed him, because I watched his teams, because I've got to know bits about him and a lot of people around him, aren't we talking something similar about Pep Guardiola?
Yeah.
Not just what he's doing now at Manchester City. All those traits you mentioned about Ashley or about Wayne Rooney, or that maybe you exhibited throughout your life, that be the best, win, standards all the time, self-driven, nobody else needs to judge me because it's all here, it's all on me. As you were speaking, I recognised him.
Yeah, okay, and you probably analysed it more than I have, because I've kind of made that conscious decision not to necessarily be around the first team as much, because I don't want to be that old pro that's hanging around. And I've been there when I'm listening to players talk about old pros. I'm like, wow, that's how you talk about people. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
No.
So I make sure I'm not around that much. But yeah, to be and to do what he's done, you have to have had that. There's no way. And the players and the staff, now I speak to the staff a lot more than necessarily some of the players, because there's only like David Silva, Sergio, Vincent that I kind of played with to kind of have that relationship with. But regards to the medical staff, the kit staff, they're still the same personnel, and they love it. The fact that he's created an environment where you have to be professional. There's no alternative option. If you're not, you will not play. And that's the bit I'm gutted about I've missed. Not necessarily the style of play, because we had great times when I played and I was part of the team that won the league. So in terms of the trophies and stuff, that was great. But that side of it, I would love to have worked with someone that demanded it from everyone. And that's the thing I'm kind of envious of, is that he seems to be consistent with everyone. And that's not been the case with managers I've worked with or previous managers of other clubs. It's, oh, he can do that, but you can't. And I've seen that, not necessarily with myself, but with other players. And
rules you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm just like, he gets away with certain things because he can do that, where that doesn't seem to be the case here. No, you have to do it. Everyone has to do it, or they don't play, or it's not. It's frowned upon. I'm like, that's the bit I would love to be kind of under and watching.
You remind me of, I think, a phrase you used when you chose to join City. Because I think you talked then about, at Everton, there's, we'd like to do well, or at City, it's an obligation. Even then, way before what you're saying, you went, that club, which was lower in the table than the club you were leaving at the time, that club is just focused on win, look for the title. That's, have I made the translation right from what you were talking about to what you felt like then?
Yeah, again, I was lucky enough to meet Chairman Khaldun, and at the time, he even made me feel like I was the most important person joining this club. And again, he probably did that with everyone, I'm assuming he did, because he's that way. But for that moment, that was the case, and it just mirrored my thought process of, these want to win. I want to win. They are determined to win. That timing of it all was just perfect for me.
And I like seeing people thrive and succeed. And you know, from that decision, you know, league title aside, and the fun times and the high level performance and, you know, reasonable rewards, I'm sure financially, here you are at his club still feeling the same way and seeing an augmentation of that desire to win and the standards at a time when you're into a new branch in your life. It's a very satisfying parabola to listen to and to watch for me.
He was, spoke about the club himself, spoke about where the club was going, and you kind of just, because no one's done in a small period of time what City have been able to do in this 10 years that they've been in charge, you kind of just like, okay, I kind of understand what you're saying, but there's no proof of anything yet because it hasn't happened anywhere. And then stuff starts to happen, you're like, these are deadly serious about what they're doing. And then you realise they have been so successful in pretty much every aspect of their life, every other business they've been involved in. And I hate to say that it's just a business for them, because it's not, because the way they've changed the community, they haven't just developed Man City as a football club. And I'm not just saying this because I'm part of that, but
There's a patent investment.
Yeah, the 100%. And what they've done in this amount of time compared, and again, I don't really want to do that, but I will, to say what United have done in that is totally different. Like, obviously, now Man United have felt the need to have a women's team, where that was standard, that was always going to happen, and the success that has been evident on the pitch, and just developed the community and obviously partnered with so many other clubs. And the 10 years that they've been in control, they've done everything barring win the Champions League they've set out to do. And as I said, I don't think they're going to stop when they do reach that goal of the Champions League. I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be like, well, we've done what we set out to do, now we can rest. It's going to be like, well, what's the next thing? What can we do? And they're just going to continue to grow.
Hopefully you enjoyed that big interview, which was first released as an exclusive to our socios 12 months ago. If you'd like to get these interviews on the first day that they're available, it's time for you to join us, to become a socio, and for only £2.99 a month, you will get an exclusive big interview, plus regular mini-documentaries, not only all ad-free, but all featuring me, and bringing you interesting, funny, and sometimes scandalous things from Spanish football. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to unlock our entire archive. That means that once you join, you will have a treasure trove of interviews with funny, elite, interesting, revelatory, top-class footballers. By joining us, you will help support this independent podcast. You will help to keep us on the road, interviewing people and sending that content for your delectation. If you go to the gym, you'll be slimmer. If you've got a dog, he or she will thank you. If you've got a TV, you can turn it off and listen to this instead.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.